Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Of Soldiers and Supper, an adaptation of an Aesop's fable written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Gavin and Mira and their family in Redwood City, California, Fox, Luna, and their cat Cecil and the rest of their family in Charleston, South Carolina, Nora and Elise and their family in Scituate, Massachusetts, and Lincoln and his family in Orlando. Thank you so much, Lincoln, Elise, Nora, Cecil, Luna, Fox, Mira, and Gavin. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. We have Stories Podcast merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, and now we're also on Cameo. Check us out over there if you'd like to get a personal video message for someone special. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Of Soldiers and Supper. Once upon a time, a colony of mice was trying to store away their food for the coming winter. They had pantries full of wild seeds and nuts and bits of veggies all secreted away in the warm walls of an old farmhouse. They also mixed in big crumbs they'd stolen from the human trash barrels and choice little balls of kibble they'd stolen from the dog dishes when the dogs were asleep in front of the fireplace. It seemed like a lot of food, but the mice knew that it would be a hard winter. They wouldn't starve, but they wouldn't be having any big Sunday dinners either.
"It's all the weasel's fault," said Chancellor Bushwick, one of the leaders of the mouse colony.
He was a heavy mouse having a heavy meal with the other old mice in charge.
"Those slinky little thieves moved in next door and now they've taken half of everything."
"Quite right, old chap," said a softball round mouse named Major Mallow, who was in charge of the mice army.
"And now the soldiers and the rest are saying we need to stop the daily officers' feast."
That brought a hearty round of boos from the assembled leaders.
"Why should we stop the feasts?" asked an old captain. "We're the ones in charge, after all."
"Oh," said Bushwick, "the quartermasters are giving me some mumbly junk about running out of food if we keep at it all winter. I told them to feed the others less, but they said the mice are already on minimum rations. He wants us to go down to normal rations so we can last out the cold."
"Normal rations?" asked Major Mallow, his jowls jiggling. "They can't mean that. There has to be another way. Maybe we let some of my soldiers starve. That would be fine by me."
"And me," snarled the old captain. "The young soldiers are too soft. A little starving would toughen them up, put some starch in their tails."
"Oh, I wish we could," said Bushwick sadly. "But if we do that, they might mutiny, and then where would we be?"
He shook his head, whiskers wiggling.
"No, we have to keep our daily feasts, but we have to keep the rest of the mice busy, too."
They all thought for a long moment.
"I've got it," said Major Mallow. "We go to war with the weasels. We'll attack those slinky sleazes and take all their food."
"Oh, will that work?" asked Bushwick. "The weasels are a lot bigger than we are. Truth be told, they scare me a little."
"No," said Major Mallow. "We can recruit every able-bodied mouse in the colony. We'll have the advantage in numbers. And if we lose a few, well, that's just fewer mouths to feed and more for us."
This idea was met with a great cheering from all the assembled mice in charge. They were terrible leaders and terribly greedy to boot, so any solution where they didn't have to give up their daily feast was a good solution to them.
The next day, they assembled the entire colony of mice before a grand stage.
"Thank you all for coming," said Chancellor Bushwick. "In light of our food shortages, we have decided to go to war with the weasels."
He waited for a cheer, but was met with a sea of blank, blinking faces.
"Why?" one mouse called out. "They haven't done anything to us."
"Oh, but they have," said Bushwick. "They've gathered food that should have been ours to gather. They're sitting in their dens even now, eating our veggies and nuts."
The mice murmured. None of them were happy about the food shortage, but to attack their neighbors?
"Oh, but they're so big," called out another mouse. "They'll knock our whiskers back into our tails."
"But we have the numbers," shouted Major Mallow. "And we have the leaders. Everyone you see on this stage has been promoted, under the command of myself and Chancellor Bushwick, to captains of the new mouse army."
But why do we need an army?" asked a little mouse. "Couldn't you all just stop with your daily feasts and cut back like the rest of us?"
"Of course not," said Major Mallow. "We are the leaders of the army, after all, and the leaders must have proper nutrition to command in the battle to come."
The crowd was grumbling, but Major Mallow hadn't steered them wrong before. Of course, they hadn't fought a war in generations, but the major always looked very busy and impressive with his uniform and clipboard and big, shouting voice.
"Effective immediately. Every able-bodied mouse is recruited into the army," he ordered. "We attack the weasels tomorrow at noon while the lazy louts are sleeping the day away."
The assembled mice were a little excited, a little angry, but mostly just confused. Sure, food was tight, but was it worth going to war?
"Dismissed!"
the major bellowed. And that ended the discussion. The next morning, the mice pushed through their little hole in the farmhouse wall. It was small, so they had to scurry through in a single file line. They gathered in the dirt outside of the farmhouse. They were armed with toothpick spears and crooked nail swords and bottle cap shields. None of them much knew how to fight, but they were feeling hopeful. A victory meant that they would all get to feast, not just the leaders, and they did have numbers on their side. Soon, the leaders all marched out of the little mouse hole. They were wearing armor made of old Coke cans and carried sturdy metal helmets made of tall thimbles under their arms. They stood together, led by Chancellor Bushwick and General Mallow, and faced the assembled mouse army.
"Today we march to victory,"
General Mallow cried.
"Today we march to glory. But most of all, today we march to supper."
The assembled mice cheered, but some were grumbling too.
"How come you all get armor and helmets?" one called out from the crowd. "You're all protected and half of us have nothing but old toothpicks."
"Well, I've only got a thumbtack."
"Dave's only got a thumbtack. And look at you. You even have helmets."
Now,
said Bushwick, tugging his own helmet into place over his whiskers.
"We are the leaders. The leaders must be protected if we are to lead you to victory."
"Just like the leaders get to eat more?" asked another mouse, sarcastically.
"Exactly. You get it,"
said Bushwick, either not hearing or maybe just choosing to ignore the sarcasm.
"Now, is everyone ready?"
A weak cheer went up from the crowd.
"The weasels are asleep in their dens in the old western field just ahead," Major Mallow barked. "We storm in, we take the food, and we storm right back home. If any weasel tries to stop us, we fight."
He drew his own weapon, which was a bright green cocktail sword from some fancy human drink.
"Now charge!"
The mice roared, well, squeaked out a battle cry and stampeded toward the weasel's burrow. They poured through the openings like an angry flood, and soon the weasels were awake and shouting back and forth.
"What's going on?"
"It's the mice!
They're after our food!"
The weasels saw the mice attacking their hoarded food and leapt into action. They were nice enough and probably would have shared if they'd been asked, but to let it be taken, they would starve. That they couldn't allow.
"Fight back! Stop the mice!"
cried an old weasel, and he hefted a gnarled taproot club. He swept it around him and sent mice flying back like home runs. The other weasels were quick to action too, and they had clubs and stones and even just their own teeth and claws. They leapt among the mice, outnumbered, but fighting savagely to protect their food for the winter months ahead.
"Whoa, don't give up!"
cried Chancellor Bushwick, even though he himself was in full retreat, deathly afraid of the shrieking weasels.
"Fight on, my friends!"
"That's right!"
roared Major Mallow, his armor stretched over his bulging belly, tall thimble helmet on his head.
"We need to get this food! Don't give up! Charge! Charge!"
The mice surged forward and the battle was fully joined. Lone weasels stood like islands in the sea of mice. And like islands, they were solid, and the waves of foes simply crashed upon their shores. Mice went flying. Mice went rolling. Mice went bruised and battered and bouncing. Their little spears snapped and their swords shattered. The weasels formed a tight group around their stored food, and any mouse that so much as showed a whisker was knocked right out of the burrow. Finally, seeing there was no hope, the mice turned and ran. There were only a few at first, but then their friends saw them running and they turned and ran too. And shortly, the whole mouse army was in full retreat.
"You cowards!"
cried Major Mallow, who was standing safely outside the burrow.
"Keep fighting! Keep going! Keep... help!"
A weasel snagged him and threw him like a shot put. He clanged into the side of the farmhouse and slid to the dirty ground, stars flashing in his eyes. Chancellor Bushwick saw his main general get knocked senseless and finally joined the crowd.
"Run away! Run away!"
he shouted, tottering along. The weasels chased the mice out of the burrow and just kept coming. The mice darted through their little hole in the side of the farmhouse as quickly as they could. Luckily, the weasels couldn't fit. But unfortunately, neither could the leaders. Bushwick and Major Mallow and the others darted for the hole, but their tall thimble helmets wouldn't fit through. They tried to pull them off, but they had been dented and dinged by the weasels and they were stuck on over their snouts.
"Help!"
cried Bushwick and the other leaders.
"Don't leave us here!"
"Well, this was your idea,"
cried a little mouse, shooting through the hole into the safety of the farmhouse.
"Nice helmets, by the way."
The soldier mice helped each other. The ones that were still healthy helped along those who had been knocked senseless. And together, they all made it back to the safety of their home in the walls of the old farmhouse. When the weasels sent out a force to follow them, they found only the leaders, stuck outside, still trying to pry off their helmets and making an awful racket.
"What do we have here?" asked one of the weasels. "Some mice all wrapped up in tin cans?"
"Oh, stop! Wait!"
cried Chancellor Bushwick, trying to pull the helmet off a barely awake Major Mallow.
"We are the leaders of the mice. Our army will defend us. You can't touch us. We're the leaders. You hear me? We're the leaders."
"Oh, these ones are the leaders," said the weasel. "So you ordered the attack then?"
"That's right. I'll cut you down, you slinky skunks," shouted Major Mallow.
He was facing the wrong way and waving his broken plastic sword at nothing in particular.
Give us the food and no one gets hurt.
Oh, this leader is a tough guy in his tin can, said another weasel.
You think they have soda inside? Asked another.
Only one way to find out. Let's open one up and see.
Hearing that, Chancellor Bushwick fainted on the spot. The weasels weren't actually a bad sort, and they didn't hurt any of the mice leaders. Well, they didn't hurt them more, but it was a few days before Major Mallow could remember his name, and a few weeks before he could handle solid food again. The rest of the mice, the common sort, talked to the weasels, and they actually got along just fine. The weasels were happy to trade some of their veggies for some of the more delicious crumbs the mice were able to steal by sneaking around the house. Both groups made it through the winter just fine. In fact, with the leaders and their daily feasts gone, the mice found they had more than enough, and they all ate well. And the leaders? They spent the winter under the watchful eye of the weasels. They were fed enough, but their feasting days were gone. They were free to go, but they weren't sure if the other mice really wanted them back. So they waited to see if the other mice would try and rescue them, but no one ever came. It turns out that when given the choice between empty leaders and full bellies, or full leaders and empty bellies, well, they would choose full bellies every time. Wouldn't you? The end. Today's story of Soldiers and Supper was an adaptation of an Aesop's fable written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced for you by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, commission a special video on Cameo, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.